Good morning. Welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. Thank you for joining us today. And I just want to say, so you guys understand, it is not only a privilege, but it is my great honor to be able to stand up here every Sunday and to share with you the Word of God. And so I don't take it lightly. It's not something I just do willy-nilly. There's a purpose for it, and it is my honor to be able to take part in doing this and leading our church. You might be happy to hear that this is our last week in our relationship series. We end the series the same way we started our series. How did we start our series? We started by honoring our mothers. And so today we end the series by honoring our fathers. And if you're a dad here today, would you please just stand to your feet so we can recognize you and give you a round of applause, please? Dean, I think you need to stand up too, Dean. You're as much of a dad as anybody not standing that should be. Okay. Praise the Lord. Dads, happy Father's Day. May the Lord bless you richly. And stick around to the end of service because I've got a gift for you. And I didn't think about this until after the fact. If you have false teeth, I wasn't even thinking you might want to make sure you have them in. Okay? I didn't think about it, and for that I'm very sorry. So anyways, today's sermon is titled A Life of Purpose. And it's kind of a twofold sermon. Is it geared towards dads? Sure it is. Does it apply to every single Christian? Oh, absolutely, it does. And so there's something for everybody here today, but the stress is going to be on fathers. So as fathers, and I can say that as fathers, because I am a father, we carry a special responsibility. We carry a heavy burden almost in raising our children. And I know it's something that I fail almost daily at. I do not have this fathering thing figured out. There is no manual. I think I said this a few weeks ago. There is no manual that said A, B, and C if X, Y, Z happens. You learn as you go. And the first kid, they say, comes out tougher than the second kid because you learned a lot from your mistakes with the first kid. So Caleb's turning out pretty good. So I'm encouraged that we're doing all right. And so it's something I know that we fail out, that I fail out every day. Here's my hope and prayer for my kids. And I have to believe that this is the hope and prayer of every father in here, that our children are better off because of me, not despite of me. Meaning, I hope that I've done a good job raising my kids. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, I hope you or someone next to you has one that you can turn on to look with. Let me invite you to open your Bible this morning to Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. And while you turn there, let me just share. Today, we live in a culture that, quite frankly, wants to emasculate men. They want to destroy their identity, their place in society, and their place in the family unit. Fathers, by God's design, are the leaders, priests, and protectors of their families. It has never been more important for fathers to be present than it is in this day. And let me just share this story. One of the best pictures I've ever seen on the current confusion on the placement of fathers comes from Irma Bombeck, B-O-M-B-E-C-K. Laverne's shaking his head. Have you heard this story? She paints a portrait of a little girl who loved her dad but wasn't sure what dads do. One morning, my father didn't get up and go to work. Instead, he went to the hospital where he died the next day. I hadn't thought about that much about him before. I hadn't thought that much about him before. He was just someone who left every morning and came home every night and seemed to be glad to see everyone. He opened the jar of pickles when no one else could. He was the only one in the house who wasn't afraid to go into the basement by himself. When he cut himself shaving, no one kissed him or got excited about the boo-boo. It was understood that when it rained, He went out and got the car and brought it around to the door. When anyone was sick, he went out to get the prescription filled. He took lots of pictures, but he was never in them. Whenever I played house, not me, this is the little girl who wrote this, just so I... Whenever I played house, the mother doll had a lot to do. She was very busy. I never knew what to do with the daddy doll. So I had him say, "I'm going off to work now," and I threw him under the bed. The funeral was in our living room, and a lot of people came and brought all kinds of good food and cake. We had never had so much company in our house before. I went to my room and felt under the bed for the daddy doll. When I found him, I dusted him off and I put him on my bed. But he never did anything. I didn't know his leaving would hurt so much. Fathers are more important than we understand. Fathers are very important in our lives. They shape who we are and they shape who we become. Sometimes we might even fail to recognize their sacrifice for our benefit. As a father, my greatest privilege to my kids is being a spiritual leader and to teach them about loving and serving the Lord. If there's one thing I can do right in this life, it's to point them towards God. Let's get to our scripture this morning. A lot of you have probably already read ahead. You probably have this memorized. You know this verse. This is Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 15. It says this: "Now therefore," this is Joshua talking to the Israelites, "now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." At the end of his life, Joshua called all the tribes of Israel together to renew the covenant with God, reminding everyone who God was. If you go and read before this, he's telling them pretty much what God had done, everything that they had been through, all the signs that the Lord had done for him, who he was, where he brought them from, and what he had done for them. And at that moment, Joshua is calling on them to make a pledge to remain faithful and loyal to God alone. Listen, we have to make that pledge to remain faithful and loyal to God alone. He ends with this well-known verse that we've all seen on banners, pictures, art. You might even have this hanging on your wall at home, or it's one of your verses. And just so we understand that this is a declaration that Joshua made for his family as the leader, as the priest of his household. He made this declaration in front of all Israel as he urged the Israelites to also choose their path. And that is, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As fathers, as just Christians, as believers, Joshua's declaration, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," should be our guiding principle in life. It should be what we strive towards every single day. If you're a father in here this morning, this is just as much for you as it is for those that are maybe your father's not in the picture. Listen, as leaders, regardless if man, woman, or child, no matter where we are responsible for guiding our families in the right direction towards God. As with Joshua, serving the Lord, it's not a one-time event. It's not a one-time altar call where you come to the altar and you say, "I want to serve the Lord today," and then we go about life and we never think about it again. No, instead it's a lifestyle. It's an everyday decision that has to be made. We must continually show our families what it means to do what is right and to follow and to pursue God and His plans. As always, we have to have practical application on how we can live out that declaration in our lives. How do we live out, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? As I've stated several times, don't tune me out because it's Father's Day. Tune me in because you're a Christian who has ears that can hear. I know that some have hearing aids. Turn them up so you can hear me, okay? It's for everybody in here today. This is for every single one of us. We can carry this out. And the first one, to live this life of purpose, to live out this declaration, we must first talk about it. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 9. It says this, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates." How many of us, you don't raise your hand, but how many of us are we continuously talking about things with the Lord in our households? When we go on a bike ride, when we go on a walk. My wife and I, we're not great at this. We do our best. If you want to see somebody who, Emily Orr, which, you know, Carrie Van Campen and that whole family is amazing. But Emily, she can literally tie every situation ever that has ever happened or will happen in that child's life and be able to say, hey, this happened and this, and always ties it together. And Alicia and I are like, how did you get there? We point them. If we make it a priority, it is our job as fathers, as parents, as grandparents, as a body of believers to point our kids towards the Lord. We must intentionally talk about our relationship with the Lord. It is God's desire that His Word... Whose word? Yep. God's word, the Bible, be in our heart. Because if we put it in our hearts, it's in our soul, it's in our body, it's in our mind, it's what we think about. So we are to read the word, we're to talk about the word, we're to share the word. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Ask your kids, ask your spouse, ask your mom or dad, ask your grandparents what the Lord is speaking to you. I know for some it puts you on the spot. I haven't read my Bible all week. He's not speaking anything to me. I don't know how to respond to this. I promise you get in your Bible because the next time they ask you, you're not going to be dumbfounded like a deer in the headlights. Ask them what the Lord is speaking to them. And decide to create that atmosphere in your family where you can openly talk about the things of the Lord. Does that mean that every conversation is hunky-dory and perfect and wonderful? No. Guess what? We go through trials in life, don't we? We face hardships in life. Sometimes we have a bad day. But where does our hope remain? In the Lord and in His soon return. That is where our promise is in. Fathers, parents, grandparents, everybody, listen. Don't let God be some far-off mystical being that is rarely talked about in your household, that when your kids grow, they start to question whether or not He exists. Because if we choose to never talk about the Lord, talk about what He's doing in our life, the challenges that we're facing, if we don't talk about it, we're setting our kids up for failure. So instead, reveal how real He is in everything around you. Talk about Him. Point out the things that He's doing for you and your family. Let your words point others to God. Talk about it. Not only do we need to talk about it, here's our second one. You ready? We have to live. We have to live. 1 Timothy 6:11, it says this, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." As in Timothy's time, where he faced evil, he faced temptations and false teachings. He had false teachings all around him. Paul sends him a letter. Paul was Timothy's spiritual father, okay? So Paul sends a letter of encouragement. He says to Timothy, he says, hold fast to what you believe. Flee evil and instead focus on pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Do you know that the same is true of us today? Do you know that as fathers and as just general believers that we are called to do the same thing? We have to live out our faith and we have to live out the declaration, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what does that mean? That means when I'm at Casey's and the gas pump isn't working and I've tried my card 13 times and it keeps, by the way, they don't have the e-pay, like when you double tap your phone and tap it. It acts like it's going to go, but then it continues to fail, and you're like, well, this is dumb, and then you go inside, and they're like, yeah, that's not activated. Then why is it even trying to read my card to begin with if it's not activated? This is not a true story at all, by the way. We have a moment that we can decide what our reaction tells everybody around us, don't we? That reaction will either reveal Jesus or reveal that we're not with Jesus. And I know that everybody in here knows exactly what I'm getting at. Words. Our talk, right? Our first point, our talk without action is meaningless. If we say that we're a Bible-believing Christian and we live a non-Bible-believing lifestyle, how do those two things go together? They can't, can they? Can you mix water and oil? They always separate, right? They cannot exist together. In one breath, we cannot be talking about how good the Lord is, but then live a life that suggests that He isn't good, that suggests that He isn't holy, that suggests that maybe He doesn't even exist. Maybe this is just an exercise that we're all here for today. Maybe we didn't pray to a God that we believe that can heal, that we know from Scripture that He touches, that He heals, that He restores the body. Instead, we choose to believe the Bible, we follow the Bible, and we live that out through our word and action in our life. But don't let your life suggest that He isn't good, that He isn't holy, and that maybe He doesn't even exist. If that's your lifestyle, but your words say something different, here's the implications of that. Here's what you're teaching your kids and everybody around you. How to live a religious life. I am not interested in religion. Instead, I am interested in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want my life to reflect that relationship. If we're teaching our kids how to live religious, you're creating miniature Pharisees. Instead, we have to be an example to them on how to have a relationship with the Lord by how we speak, how we talk, and by how we live. By living out what we talk, by putting action to our words, we are inevitably doing the third thing, and that is to teach. This comes from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't know of a single Christian parent who wants worse for their kids than they had. I don't know of a single Christian parent who doesn't want their kids to know the Lord. I don't know a single Christian parent who does not want their kids to succeed in their relationship with the Lord. I don't know a single Christian parent who doesn't want their kids to devote and to follow the Lord with everything that they are. We must teach our kids to follow God, to love God. And when we do, here's the promise. The promise is this: they will not depart from it. Now, does that mean that they don't go try to live life on their own? Sure it does, but even the prodigal son came back. If you want to set your kids up for successful life in the Lord, talk about the things of the Lord. How can our kids pray if we don't pray? If they don't hear us pray? How can we teach our kids to read if we ourselves aren't reading? When we're out on the street and somebody needs prayer, and we just say, you know what, I'm praying for you, instead of stopping it, how can we teach our kids to step into that moment that the Lord created for you right now if we ourselves aren't willing to do it? I've always said in my life, there's a reaction for every action. Cause and effect, right? Whether you're teaching your kids something, you're the one that gets to control what you're teaching them. This goes for everybody in the church. This goes for our mothers. This goes for grandparents. It goes for aunts and uncles. If you're a Bible-believing Christian in here, it goes for you today. As a father and a parent, I want my kids to pursue the Lord with everything that they are. I want them to listen and to follow His leading, wherever that may be. For I know that's where joy, peace, and fulfillment are found. It is found in the Lord Himself. So teach your kids the things of the Lord. Teach them to pray. Teach them to listen. Teach them to worship. Teach them to love, and they will not depart from it. Now listen, you might be in here this morning and you don't have a dad. Your father either left or he's passed or whatever the circumstances may be. Find yourself somebody who can step into that spiritual father the same way Paul was to Timothy. Listen, if you're over 50 years old, will you just raise your hand this morning as a man or a woman, right? Uh-huh. Hey, listen, guys. Hi, spiritual mom and dads. You have a lot of life that you've lived that we haven't. Do you suppose your life has something to teach somebody? I'm being quite genuine here when I say this. We need to surround ourselves with people who have lived life, gone through life, who are more spiritually mature than us, so we can become spiritually mature. And so, if you haven't had a good example of a father, or one is not present, there's two things. One, God's the perfect father. So first and foremost, this is where all joy is found. This is completeness in life is found. You'll spend your whole life trying to find meaning in your life, and the whole time all you had to do was say, Jesus, I need you. That's the meaning of life, is to worship God. There is no other meaning in life than to worship God. Okay? He is the creator. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we're able to do that. And so, we must find avenues for us to be able to talk about it, to have opportunity to live it out, but then we need to teach it. And maybe you're in here and you don't have kids. You've never had kids. Well, guess what? You are a prime candidate for a spiritual mother or father for somebody. And so, that's all I'm going to say on that, but I think it's important. You know, we talk about discipleship and being able to grow in the Lord. If we have a way to help somebody, why are we choosing not to? And I'm not saying that we're choosing not to, but why isn't that something that we're pursuing to see the growth and the benefit of others around us? And so as we start to put a bow on this today, as Joshua made his declaration, we as fathers, we as believers, we as the body of Christ, we have a choice to make. We get to choose today whether or not to make that same declaration. We choose whether or not to dedicate ourselves wholeheartedly to the things of the Lord. We decide if we will ever take the time to open our Bible and to read it. We decide if we will spend time and pray in communion with the Lord. We decide through our words and our actions what our kids are learning. We decide if we'll tell our kids about the things of the Lord. The same is true. Not only does it impact our kids, but the same is true when it comes to our friends, our co-workers, our acquaintances, and most importantly, all of those are wrapped up in the bow of our community. Engaging our community for Jesus is only meaningful with wholehearted dedication to following the Lord. So today, we honor and we celebrate our fathers who either have already led their family or are currently leading their family and showing their family how to be successful. And will continue to do so on the path of righteousness. But at the same, in the same breath, we need to pray for the fatherless. We also need to pray for those who struggle in their roles as fathers and living that life of purpose. Pray for those dads that you know in your life that they find strength and guidance in the Holy Spirit to be that priest, that leader of their household. As Joshua declared, I wonder who here today would declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the question that's left unanswered is, how can we talk, how can we live, or how can we teach about the Lord if we ourselves don't have a relationship with the Lord? We can't. How can you teach about what you don't know? So this morning, if you guys would, I would just ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, just listen to me for a moment. I just want you to just know that it is the Lord's heart, it is His heart, that you would make a decision for Him, that you would make a decision to follow Him, to give your life to Him. We can't be successful in talking, living, and teaching about the things of the Lord until we have our own relationship with the Lord. So whether this is in a new way or a fresh way, listen, if you've never said, Lord Jesus, I need your kingship, your leadership, your priesthood in my life, and that's you this morning, would you please just raise your hand? Amen. So today as we close, we're going to do things a little bit differently. It's okay to do different, right? I have a gift for the fathers. I'd like to have the fathers come to the front and face the crowd, if they will. So if you're dad in here, even my soundboard techs, Dean, that includes you. I, you're just as much of a dad to everybody in here.
Please forgive me for when I've gone home. Lord, I need you.
There's a lot of handsome men up here, isn't there? So is what I would like to do. Dads, I have a gift for you. You get to choose what flavor. Moms, you got chocolate. Dads, you're getting beef jerky. So you get to choose whether you get honey barbecue or sweet teriyaki. But here's the other thing. We're handing out a 1-minute Devo, 1-minute insights for men. And here's my hope with this, that it cultivates conversation in your household. It cultivates conversation. Can we turn that down just a little bit? That it cultivates an atmosphere where we can live, we can talk, and we can teach our children and our families about the thing of the Lord. After I hand these out, I'm going to call for prayer. So if your dad is up here, if your husband is up here, if your grandpa is up here, or if you just genuinely want to pray for somebody up here, I would encourage you to come up, lay hands as we pray together and close in service here.
One of those devos. Let every voice be one. This is the sound of broken hearts beating. This is the place where hurting finds healing. Lift up a song of praise and sing it loud. This is the sound of freedom.
Before I call you up for prayer, can we just get a round of applause for our dads here this morning? All right, church, now's your time to flood the altars. If your dad is up here, your grandpa, your father, come up here this morning, lay your hands on them. We're going to pray for the Lord's blessing to be on them and to thank them for blessing us with them as our fathers.
Hearts beating, this is the place where hurting finds healing. Lift up a song of praise and sing it.
Does everybody have somebody praying with them? Yes? Okay. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, first and foremost, we thank you for being the ultimate dad in our lives, Lord. The God that doesn't disappoint. The Father who is always there. The Father that understands our needs before we even bring them. We even say, Lord, we need you. Lord, we thank you for being that Father in our lives. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for these earthly fathers that you have given us. Lord, that you have blessed us with as being our fathers in our life. Lord, we pray for your blessing to be upon them. Lord, as we honor them and recognize the selfless sacrifices that they make, the dads that we don't know what they do, Lord Jesus, this morning I pray that they are filled with your presence, that your Holy Spirit would just renew their strength as dads, and Lord, that they would walk out of here today feeling honored, respected, and Lord, that they are reestablished as priests of their homes. Lord Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Fathers, happy Father's Day. Church, God bless you. Thank you.